Hi, this is Scott Wilkinson, host of Home Theater Geeks. In episode 170, I chat with Barb Gonzalez and Mark Henninger about their experiences with Google's Chromecast. So stay tuned.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Home Theater Geeks is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
This is Home Theater Geeks with Scott Wilkinson, recorded August 12th, 2013, episode 170, all about Chromecast. This episode of Home Theater Geeks is brought to you by ProXPN. ProXPN is a virtual private network that allows you to use the internet the way it should be, anonymous and unfiltered. For 20% off your new account, go to proxpn.com/twit and use the promo code HTG. And by Tonks Coffee. Tonks offers a bi-weekly subscription. Tonks sources their beans directly from the growers. They're roasted and shipped within 24 hours, giving you the freshest coffee beans in the world. For a free sample, visit tonks.org/HTG. That's tonks.org/HTG. Hey there, Scott Wilkinson here, the home theater geek and director of content at avsforum.com. This week's guest geeks are Mark Henninger, one of the primary contributors to AVS Forum. Hey, Mark, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Scott. How's it going?
Going great. Thanks. Thanks so much for being here. And Barb Gonzalez, otherwise known as the Simple Tech Guru, who has also been on the show before. Hey, Barb, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
So before we get started, and we're going to be talking about Google Chromecast today, very interesting topic that many people are interested in, I want to let everybody know who's watching live, and I do hope you tune in live when you can, on Mondays, 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, although today it's about a half an hour late, at live.twit.tv. or logged into the chat room at irc.twit.tv. You can post questions for Mark and Barb and me, and we will answer them as best we can. So, Chromecast. This is a big deal. Everybody seems to be very interested in it. Let's start with what it is. Barb, give us just a quick overview of what the heck are we talking about here?
Well, it's made by Google. And it's a dongle, which means that it's just like a little, about this big long of a little device that goes into your HDMI in the back of your TV. And there you go. And
there's a picture of it for those of you who are watching the video. It looked kind of like a USB memory stick.
A little bit bigger than that. Mm-hmm. What they don't show you is that you actually do have to plug it in either to the wall or to a USB. Pardon me. On your TV.
And there's a picture of that.
Right. Anyway, you put in either an extension on Google Chrome on your PC or Mac. I'm sorry, I'm choking here. And it will mirror to the Chromecast. I'm sorry, I have to take a drink.
That's okay. Mark, you took apart a Chromecast, did you not?
I did not. I was looking at that on I think it was WeFixit.com.
We got a couple of pictures of the innards. I think if we can pull it up, there's the innards. It's this tiny little circuit board with a couple of chips on it. I wonder how much memory is on board. Do you know, Mark?
Yes, it's got 4 gigabytes of flash RAM in it.
4 gigabytes. That's amazing.
It sure is. That's half of what an Apple TV version 3 has. But at the same time, it's an awful lot of streaming and buffering and computing power. I mean, 4 gigs used to be a pretty luxurious amount of memory. I mean, mm-hmm. not too long ago. So, so it's an HDMI 1.4 device that I believe at some point in the future might be able to be powered by the TV, but at this point it does have to be externally USB powered. And its main purpose is to stream content off the internet that you select using your phone, tablet, or a computer browser. And in that sense, it differentiates itself from the other streaming devices in that it really isn't about streaming local content. It's about streaming content off of the cloud. That doesn't mean you can't stream local content. There are workarounds or tricks, but that's its primary purpose is to draw data off of your internet connection from the cloud.
And basically for like Netflix and YouTube and Google Play are the different ones that come on your iPhone or on your iPad. You can just press a little button and they're on the same Chromecast is on the same Wi-Fi, it'll just boom, send it straight from your iPhone or iPad to the Chromecast and to the TV.
So that's a bit of an issue, actually, because you can't do that from an iOS device. There is no Google Play or Google Music on app on an iOS device. Right now, it's strictly going to be Netflix or YouTube on your
iPad
or iPhone.
That's right. That's true.
Yes.
From the iOS device, that is.
Right. Barb, do you have you used it with an iOS device or with Android or both?
With both, of course. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Bill,
I've done it with both PC and with Mac. You just have to download the newest version of Chrome and get a Chrome extension for Chromecast. Mm-hmm. And as long as they're on the same Wi-Fi, it will see the Chromecast and you click on it and it sends. Now, of course, HBO and Hulu are very close to offering up Chromecast abilities as well.
Mm-hmm. We actually have, speaking of service providers, I want to make sure we understand that at the moment, and correct me if I'm wrong, Chromecast only provides access to Netflix, YouTube, and in the case of Android devices, Google Play. Is that correct?
Well, you can also access Google Play on a PC or on a Mac. It's just iOS devices that can't do Google Play.
Mm. And Barb, you were going to say?
That's from when you're talking about from a piece, from a handheld device, like from a tablet or a smartphone. Those are all the only things you can do. But when you have it from Chrome, it actually is mirroring your tab, whatever you have open.
Ah, well, this was my next question. But before I get to it, we actually have a comparison chart that I hope we can show. I'm not sure, John, if we can. There it is. From The Verge, and I want to acknowledge that this came from The Verge. And it shows, if we can zoom in and maybe scroll down, it'll show what the difference is between AirPlay and Chromecast. I don't know if there's any way to get in a little tighter than that. Not much. But obviously we have Netflix, we have YouTube, we have Hulu Plus, not available on Chromecast. It is on AirPlay. And it says coming soon, Pandora. Yeah, but there are at the moment quite a few more sources for AirPlay than there are for Chromecast. But Barb, you made a very it is. Oh,
yeah, tell us. AirPlay is casting, isn't it? I mean, Barb, right?
Barb, go ahead.
That's not why I'm saying it's inaccurate. I just a few minutes ago was watching HBO Go that from my PC. And I had a Chromecast onto I had it sent to the Chromecast.
Mm. And so this is an important point that while the access to service providers might be limited on your portable devices, you can get almost anywhere from a laptop or a PC. Barb, isn't that right?
Yes, I hear that there's a problem with QuickTime and Silverlight, but I have not found any of the networks. I haven't found anywhere where I've had any kind of limitations and not been able to stream something. Now, there's one kind of weird thing about it. I mean, you're going to want to do it from a laptop because the only way to control it, if you're doing it from your computer to the Chromecast, is to control it on the device that has the Google Chrome open. So if you want to pause it or do anything else, you're going to have to do that from your computer, not from a smartphone or something else.
Mm. Mark, that's your experience as well?
Well, I've we're talking about casting a tap. Yes, you must use a computer. But my personal experience with it has been the same as Barb's, that it's been pretty much unlimited. And I was able to set the casting on my in my Chrome browser to the high-quality 720p setting. And what really surprised me was that the 1080p screen from my computer was on the TV, and I could read the text. I mean, it wasn't like the kind of fuzzy text that you get when you look at 1080p usually on a 720p screen. So in my case, yeah, you do have to be in the browser to have that kind of control and do that kind of stuff. You know, I mean, otherwise you're restricted to the four service providers that we discussed.
Leo has speculated that possibly as Chromecast becomes more popular, and it's already pretty wildly popular, that more apps, more content providers will provide a Chromecast button on their app.
Right.
Do you imagine this is a good possibility?
It seems to be happening right now. I mean, it's been discussed. Mm-hmm. In numerous articles that it's coming. I think people know that Hulu is going to be Chromecasting pretty soon, and I'm praying for Vudu. Personally, I'd like to see Vudu Chrome, you know, have a Chromecast extension. But I would think that developers have jumped on it because there's no way that they didn't notice how quickly it was picked up and adopted compared to Google's previous efforts.
Right.
It is really amazing. I mean, think about it. Google TV does not allow... doesn't allow any kind of Hulu. And actually recently my HBO Go won't play on my Google TV. However, both companies have actually officially put out press releases that they're in negotiation to have access on the Chromecast from both Hulu Plus. But it's actually official. It's not rumors. They've actually put it out that they're going to be doing that.
Hmm. Yeah, so, I remember reading that in January around CES that they were working on the dial protocol and that they were specifically interested.
I wonder why they're doing it for the Chromecast, though, and
not Google
so
TV.
Much for Google TV, yeah. Why have they done that? I don't understand.
Well, this is part of another question I wanted to ask Barb in particular, or Mark, either one who knows the answer to this. According to everything I've read, Google is still planning to support and keep Google TV going. Why would they do that in parallel with Chromecast?
Because they're two different devices completely. And one of the big things about Google TV was always that it was going to aggregate your live either satellite or cable with all the online content as well, and being able to search everywhere and just watch it wherever it was, whether it was on your TV provider or if it was online. And
right.
That's why I don't even watch TV unless it's connected to a Google TV, because of a lot of the great features there are for that. And so I think that they're just two different devices. The Chromecast just is so cheap that it will end up in everybody's home and they can do some of the basics that they want to do. But for people who want to do a little bit more or really want all of their entertainment in one place, for now, Google TV is really it.
Now, Google TV, I thought that was the goal, and that certainly as I understood it when it first came out, but it didn't really achieve that goal in practice. Has it by now?
In my opinion, it has. They have there's an app called, I think Primetime is what it's called now. It used to be called TV and Movies. And I can, when instead of going to a guide button, I can hit a button that will show me what movies are playing. You know, it's a grid of all of the cover art. And it will show me what's playing live right then and how much time is left on each thing, or I could just switch over to whatever's online. Now I have a G8, the newest Sony Google TV, and it has the voice search with the voice on the remote control, which we won't go into a lot right now, but you can search. You can say, I want to watch Quantum Solace, and it'll tell you both when it's on TV and where you can rent it or buy it elsewhere. you know, but it's going to look into the future. So you can see whether you can watch it on your TV or in online. And they're also going to be, I think some of the updates are also going to bring it so that you can get into your DVR and see what you actually have recorded as well.
So I remember that being another part of Google TV. Yeah, absolutely. Mark, do you have any experience with Google TV?
Not really. No, actually.
No. Okay. All right. Well, Mark, I wanted to ask you, what differentiates Chromecast from other streamers? How is it different from other streamers?
I think the main thing is that there's no tangible home screen with app buttons, and there's no remote control. You really do have to have a second screen device, and you have to work from within whatever the application is. Again, in this case, you've only got four on Android and two on iOS, but you work within that app on the phone and not within a menu like you would, on an Apple TV or on a Roku, where you would, within the actual device's operating system, you would go and launch something. Instead, you're just launching the app on your phone, regardless of the operating system, and you are then casting to the TV. And the phone, when you start doing that cast, becomes your remote control, a volume control and a play pause button. And in Netflix, you get a nice little slider bar to fast forward and rewind your movie. So that functionality is built into the device. And that basically means that everybody who has such a device has a remote control already. And I think that's one of the things that they were pitching, is that everybody can kind of contribute to what you watch on your TV. If you're on YouTube, there's a playlist feature, and people can sit around in the living room and together they can find like the videos that amuse them and put them into that playlist, and it can be rearranged while it's playing. So it becomes like a jukebox. And I think that kind of like everybody's phone works, and it's social kind of an element to it, makes it, unique among those kind of devices.
Mm-hmm.
It's also, of course, the most affordable.
Well, that's it. We want to make sure everybody understands. It's $35.
Yeah.
And if you got it originally, it was like you got 3 months of Netflix, so it was $11, net.
Right, yeah. Right. Are they still offering that?
No, they just sold too many of them. And I mean, actually, there's 3 to 4 weeks on Google Play. It takes 3 to 4 weeks, or Amazon, to get one, unless you want to buy one for $65. There's people that's selling them for $65 on Amazon if you want it right away.
Oh, my God, but, really?
Yeah.
Like scalpers almost. That's amazing.
It is. It's $65 scalping. But
that's what makes it a hit. I mean, wow.
Yeah, so, exactly.
But the thing is, I don't think that it's really something to compare to another like network media player or streaming device like that. Mm-hmm. Like it's not, you don't really want to compare this to Roku. You do want to compare it to something like AirPlay or Miracast, or even Widi. Those are also casting, where you are taking it. A Miracast is basically AirPlay for Android devices, where it will just mirror the Android device right onto your TV. And so basically you can do whatever you're doing and play whatever you want to play. Similarly to what's happening with Chromecast, but Chromecast is a little bit more limited, because you have to have it on from an iOS device. It has to be one of those four apps, or from the Chrome on your PC.
Mm-hmm. But Chromecast doesn't take up your device. Chromecast lets you choose that movie and then move on, whereas if you're casting directly from iOS or an Android device, that becomes what the device is doing.
You're absolutely right. I think that there's one other one, though, is that player one that tried to come out a couple months ago kind of had the same idea where...
What was that again? The player one?
PLAIR.
Oh, I didn't know about that one.
It's a little stick. I didn't get a chance to play with it. I got to meet with the developers and play with it in their round, but I didn't get to review one. But it really mostly did what Chromecast does. What that is it's taking the URL of that page and displaying it, kind of.
Hmm. Actually, we got a couple questions in the chat room here. One is, let me see if I can find it. If you when you enter in the chat room, by the way, if you use my full handle, Scott Wilkinson, no space, it'll appear in a different color, and I'll, my eye will be drawn to it better. But this one isn't from in that way, which is why I didn't see it at first. iPad 99 asks, what if you don't have a USB input on your TV?
There's the USB. It also goes into one of those USB adapters that plug into the wall. So you just plug
it
into
the
wall.
Yeah, they give you a power plug.
And there's actually a benefit to plug it into the wall rather than plugging it into your TV. Because the HDMI control, HDMI CEC. So if you have it plugged into the wall and you're on your iPhone and you hit your, found your place on Netflix, and you go and find your Chromecast because it's plugged in, you hit it, it will turn on the TV and change the input to the Chromecast. If you have it plugged into the TV, then when you turn the TV off, the Chromecast is off. So you don't get that benefit.
You can also plug it into an AVR, and maybe there's a USB input on there. And you can also plug it into the forthcoming Xbox One and use one of its USB ports, I would think.
Xbox One, why do you need a Chromecast?
you wouldn't, but I we don't know if by the time that device comes out, if you'll want a Chromecast anyway, because we actually don't know what the future of it is, because it's so open to be, you know, browser-based. I mean, that's how I feel about it. Right now, extremely limited. But you never know what kind of tricks Google has up its sleeves.
Absolutely.
One never does. Now, pardon me. Before we continue, I would like to take this opportunity to thank one of our sponsors for this episode, which is ProXPN. Now, ProXPN is a global virtual private network, or VPN, a little bit of alphabet soup here, that works with almost any internet connection, creates a secure encrypted tunnel, 512-bit encryption through that tunnel, which should thwart most eavesdroppers. And this tunnel really is the place where your online data passes back and forth totally privately. Any online application can work with ProXPN, including your web browser, email, file sharing, instant messaging programs. ProXPN keeps everything you do online hidden from prying eyes. And who doesn't think about that these days? It disguises your physical location and gives you unfettered access to any website or online service, no matter where you live or travel to. And that's what's really important. It works via OpenVPN or PPTP. You choose. And it protects you against your ISP's six strikes rule. You can keep your internet personal internet usage private at work. So we definitely want to keep private things private there. You can bypass internet filtering and blocked websites, geographical restrictions for internet content and online video with worldwide servers in the US, UK, Asia, and more. ProXPN makes your internet service, your internet connection, truly region-free. There's software for Windows and Mac with advanced controls, allowing you to select the programs and ports you want to anonymously route through ProXPN servers. It also works with iOS and Android devices, allowing you to use your data plan or public or corporate Wi-Fi with complete and total privacy on the go. Steve Gibson, right here on the Twit Network, gave it a great review on Security Now. So go to proxpn.com/twit for more information and to sign up. ProXPN premium accounts are normally $9.95 a month or $74.95 for the entire year, but we've got a special offer for our listeners. Use the code HTG and receive 20% off for the lifetime of your account. That's not just 1 month, that's the entire lifetime of the account. That's less than $5 a month on the yearly plan. And if you're not satisfied, you can cancel in 7 days for a full refund. So go to proxpn.com and sign up with the code HTG. And we thank ProXPN very much for their support of Home Theater Geeks and the entire Twit Network. SoCal Ray Jr. in the chat room says, yeah, $35, that's what makes it different. And he's, well, and he's right, isn't it?
Yeah,
sorry, Mark. I have a comment on that, though, which is that the idea behind browsing on your phone and launching whatever, you know, strikes your fancy through different apps, The reason that's different than the other devices is let's say you want to use your iPad to control Netflix on your Apple TV. What you first have to do is have Netflix launched on your Apple TV, and then to actually go to YouTube, you have to leave Netflix and go into YouTube. Whereas, you know, with the Chromecast, what happens is the dial protocol allows the Chromecast, or rather the phone, to communicate and realize that there's an app on both devices. So you don't have to have that app launched on the Chromecast. You can basically just move on to what's next with, you know, because there isn't that underlying operating whatever menu interface that you get with smart TVs and Rokus.
Hey,
so it's more instantaneous.
Can I ask Mark a question?
Of course, please.
What does dial either stand for, or what does it mean, or what is it exactly?
It stands for Discovery and Launch Protocol. And it simply means that it'll discover if there's an app that is compatible on the Chromecast with on the device that you're using, Chrome or whatever, you know, your Android device. So it basically allows it to know that that's there, and then to launch that appropriate app, you know, without you having to do it manually.
I get it.
I would have asked the same question. Thank you, Barb. I appreciate it. Tim in the chat room is asking, is it possible to add Chromecast-like functionality to a Roku? I've tried Twonky Beam, but it's buggy. This relates to a question I was going to ask, which is, how does this compare to... obviously, you would think about the Google Chromecast because it's this little thing, and the Roku Stick, which is also a little thing, but it's a USB little thing.
I wrote notes on that.
The Roku Stick isn't USB. It's HDMI.
It's HDMI as well? Oh, my mistake.
Yeah.
Oh, but it's MHL.
It's MHL, so you have to have it powered from the TV. The TV has to have a MHL-powered HDMI connection. Right. So you can't use it on older TVs.
Understood. Mark, you had something question, to say?
To answer that question, I was reading that Roku is going to have an app that's going to allow AirPlay-like functionality.
Actually, what they're talking about on the Roku box is the app on iOS right now that controls the Roku box, the actual, you know, like remote control app. For a while now, it's had the ability to take photos and music and stream it straight. You know, you just have a button that says play to Roku, and it'll just play on the Roku. Now
from your computer, you mean?
No, from your iOS device.
Oh, okay.
From your iPad or iPhone.
Okay.
And I'm not sure if it's Android or not. I haven't tried it yet. It just kind of came out. But anyway, so before you could play your photos from your phone or your music from your phone, and... now the app actually shows that a line for videos to be able to play videos from your phone. But right now, what I can find out is that the only videos that'll play from it, or photos or anything else, the photos have to be in your camera roll, but so do your videos. Your videos have to be in your camera roll. So it can't be some video that you downloaded and have saved to your iPad or your iPhone. And it won't play from different apps yet. But I have read that Roku has plans to expand that so that you will be able to use it like AirPlay on your Roku.
Mm-hmm. Somebody else in the chat room asked about the Roku Stick and to compare and contrast, and I think we've done some of that just here. Has Google stated when other apps... This is from Jegster. Has Google stated when other apps may start arriving in the App Store? Anybody know? In terms of Chromecast, yeah.
No, I mean, I think that what we're hearing more is from the app providers rather than the from Google. Like I said, the PR that came out from Hulu and HBO, I think as other apps want to get on board, as it continues to stay popular, if they see it stays popular and people like it, then we'll see probably some more different companies, and that they will be the ones that will talk about it rather than Google themselves.
Mm-hmm. Dr. T in the chat room is saying no negotiations needed. It's an open API. Just program it to their apps. So it may not be any big deal to include Chromecast in your app to add it to whatever app that you're already making.
That's the feeling I got. You don't need Google's permission like you would Apple's permission, which opens it up to a lot more content per se.
Yeah, exactly. Untoward in the chat room says, we actually answered this already. Does Chromecast block Hulu content like Google TV does? And the answer is no.
The other thing I noticed is that when you're in Chrome and you go to your Chromecast little icon, your extension, if you right click on it, there's a thing called something like inspect elements or something. So people who are developers can go in and get all this code that they need to create different APIs.
Okay. I was going to ask you guys about the user interface, and we talked about that a little bit. Mark, you mentioned that there wasn't really one.
And there's a little bit more on Android than there is on iOS. But essentially, it converts your phone's volume control into a television volume control. And on Android, it gives you a nice play pause button when your phone is sleeping. And otherwise, you're kind of at the mercy of how it's integrated into the app itself. And Netflix did that really well. But it remains to be seen if all apps will have like a consistent way to control the content, the playback and casting or whatever.
Wouldn't that be nice if they were all consistent? I suppose it's too much to hope for, but
well, they're saying it's not.
I suppose
apps aren't consistent now. You know,
yeah exactly.
And it's funny, but they're not consistent on iOS. The biggest complaint about the current implementation is using the YouTube version of the version of YouTube on iOS and casting to it, because it has the functions that are right on the surface on Android hidden in submenus.
Another difference that just occurred to me is that with Chromecast, once you cast from your phone or your tablet or something to it, you can then, in fact, turn the phone or tablet off and it will continue to work. Am I right about that?
That's right.
Right.
Yeah. So there's a difference. I don't think you can. Well, there aren't any other casting devices or are there?
Yeah. No, so but if you turn it off, then.
Just that player one that I was talking about.
Ah, exactly. Okay.
If you turn off your phone, you're not going to be able to stop your movie, though.
Well, if it's a good movie, who would want to? But if it's bad, then maybe you want to keep your phone on. Okay, what functionality does the Chromecast not have that you'd like to see? Mark, let's start with you.
Oh, well, I would like to see it support up to 7.1 channels, because I would like to see it streaming more services, including, I think I mentioned, Vudu, which currently provide the highest quality streaming videos. Oh, my. So, yeah, there we go. So I would like to see that, because right now it supports 5.1 audio, and being a bit of a home theater geek.
You are a home theater geek.
Yes,
after all.
Yes. I expect that. I think you're. You know, there's a lot more coming in the future with soundtracks and with. You've got a situation where we're having more channels, or at least 7.1 is going to be useful. The multi-dimensional audio, the object-oriented audio that I think you've been writing some articles about, and I haven't actually experienced myself, but I think that can be mixed down to as many speakers as you have in your own home, if I'm not incorrect. And with movies coming out in that now, there's no reason why a movie couldn't be in 7.1. And since that's supported by a lot of Blu-ray players, by the PlayStation 3, that was actually a little bit of a step back for me with the Chromecast going back to 5.1 audio. So I'd like to see that. 7.1 audio right there.
Okay. Barb, how about you?
I think that it wouldn't be so much other content or anything. It would be an ability to control, like somehow work with your phone and your computer to control while it's playing back on the Chromecast. So that, I don't mind having to go to it on my computer, but when my computer is across the room or something, I want to be able to pause it and everything else without walking across the room to do that. And otherwise, all the all the different apps, you know, whether it's Spotify or actually I like Google Play Music better than Spotify, but that's my own thing.
And you get so, that now, you know, with Chromecast, you know, that Google Play is on Chromecast. So
it is. I love, I'm a big fan of Google Play Music. But the other thing, you know, one of the things that we kind of haven't said anything, and I don't know how Mark's experience has been, but there is a bit of a lag time between the casting from, especially from a computer to the device. So I think that needs to kind of be cleaned up a little bit and sped up. And it sort of starts slow, sort of like Netflix always kind of starts slow and then gets better along the way. It sort of starts slow and then does better. But and then the other thing is that my computer, even though it's only a couple of years old, needs a little bit more power, and because I get a little bit of glitching the device.
This brings us to the next big question, which is, how does it perform? And No. You actually timed it perfectly. Yeah. Mark, you mentioned to me off the air that that you had not experienced any glitching, as Barb called it. So tell us your impression of how it performs, both in terms of audio and video and streaming reliability.
Well, I'll start with this. Because I have my own digital media-based business, I pay for high-speed internet. It's 100 megabit per second, my computer is wired, and all my computers are meant to do workstation, video editing, things like that. So everything's fast, and it's an ideal environment for the Chromecast. And in that sense, the performance has been perfect for me. I mean, when I cast the tab with the highest quality setting, it was smooth, sharp video. And like I said, I could even read text, which kind of surprised me. So, you know, My experience has been completely positive. I think I do see like the ramping up of video quality in Netflix, but that's relatively brief, and I've experienced that with every other device that, you know, that's been connected through Wi-Fi that I've had. I think it just does a bit of a buffering of the 1080p before it actually shows it to you, or I don't know what's going on. But it hasn't stopped midstream in a movie and said buffering, and that's actually happened to me in every device that I've had prior to this. I've bought the Apple TV twice. I bought a Roku. I had a PlayStation 3. I wound up hardwiring my PlayStation 3 because I got annoyed with those interruptions. And I mean, I can't say that it would be consistent with other platforms, but right now I'm very just happy with the way the Chromecast streams in my house. I've had perfect performance.
Yeah. So Cal Ray Jr. in the chat room is saying he's got two Chromecasts in his house and they work great. Barb, how about you? You said you had a little bit of glitching.
Yeah, and I have a very fast, also I have 100 megabits per second coming into my house as well. However, going around the house can kind of get to be slow from time to time. So, and like I said, my computer, it actually had a little notification that came up and said that I might have issues because my computer was kind of slow.
Huh. Okay. So it told you it was detecting something, some problem.
Yeah. 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 So, but it just depends. And I would never use it to do something like play a game online or something. It would absolutely not work. There's too much latency for people who have Wi-Fi around the house.
Yeah, exactly.
It's worth noting that all those features are still in beta. All the casting features are
beta. That's true, yeah.
Wait, the casting features in Chromecast are in beta?
We're going to call it the tab.
In Chrome.
I'm sorry.
Oh, in Chrome. Yeah. I gotcha. Okay, right. Okay. All right, good. So that should improve as they solve bugs and whatever. NLE guy in the chat room is asking, is it too big for the TV? Imagine the dent in the wall. If you were to wall mount your TV, it would be difficult to put this thing in a back.
No.
Not if the HDMI port is side mounted. True.
Even the ones on the back don't usually stick straight back. And the other thing is that true. The other, I mean, a lot of them are up and down, but even with that, it comes with an extension because since it's so fat, it might be overshadowing the next HDMI. So it comes with an extension, a little tiny extension plug about that big, you know, so that it can just sort of dangle.
It's a dangling dongle. Sorry. So Cal Ray Jr. in the chat room is saying, plug your Chromecast into your AVR and you have Sonos for cheap. Full playback of all your music without the need for a display. All control from and info on your phone or tablet. Mark, you mentioned that you could plug this thing into your AVR, and that's probably what I'm going to do when I get one because I have a projector-based home theater, and you couldn't plug it straight into a projector because then you wouldn't get any sound.
Right.
Unless
it had a HDMI return, but yeah, it would have to have more than one HDMI input, and it would have to have that return. I forgot what it's even called, but can't you send a signal back through an HDMI cable?
You can with audio return channel.
Right, audio return channel.
Right, ARC. So if it has that functionality, then yeah, you could connect a second HDMI cable to your receiver. And if the receiver had ARC as well, you could get the audio back that way. But it seems to me much easier just to plug it into your receiver to start with.
For sure. Yes, I agree with that.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, well, we got a little bit more time here, and there's plenty more to talk about. But before we do, I would like to thank our second sponsor for this show, who is a new sponsor on Twit, and I'm very happy to introduce them to my audience. And this is Tonks Coffee, T-O-N-X. It's a small company made up of a tight-knit group of experts who believe that everyone deserves a great cup of coffee. And they can do it right in their kitchen. Now, I know most of you probably go out to Starbucks or someplace like that to get your coffee every morning, but Tonks doesn't think that's necessary. It's too expensive. And you can do it at home and maybe even get a better result. Tonks sources their beans directly from the growers, roasts them, and ships them within 24 hours of roasting for the freshest beans you can find. It's really good coffee. Tonks' Twitter feed will attest to that. And home-brewed coffee can be just as good as your favorite cafe. It's not as hard as those baristas make you think. Now, if you're into the barista coffee art, that's another question altogether. I, in fact, have a friend who is a coffee artist. But if what you're looking for is a good cup of coffee, then you can't get it if you buy bags of beans from grocery stores. Pre-ground coffee is even worse. Great coffee actually has very little to do with fancy gadgets and expensive gizmos, too. You got to remember that as well. Tonks gives you these beans roasted and shipped to you within 24 hours. In a bi-weekly subscription model, which is really very cool, sends the best beans on earth directly to your door for the price of a few cafe visits. If you're hitting the cafe most mornings, this is a much better and more economical way to get great coffee. They also offer plenty of help on the best brewing methods and equipment. Now, Tonks sources directly from the growers, and because of their extensive relationships, they can follow the tilt of the earth and select the best beans while they're at their peak. Tonks Coffee also makes a great gift. If you're looking for something for that hard-to-buy-for person, why not get them a great cup of coffee every morning? So much more meaningful than a gift card, that's for sure. Now, if you fancy yourself a coffee connoisseur or just love coffee, you need to try Tonks Coffee. These guys are fanatical about delivering the best beans in the world. And every 2 weeks, being the subscription, you can get a new batch of incredible beans roasted to perfection. Tonks is subscription only, and they're offering free sample to our listeners. Visit tonks.org/HTG to get some for yourself or send it to someone you know who appreciates the finer things in life. Visit tonks.org/HTG today. And we thank Tonks Coffee very much for their support of Home Theater Geeks and the entire Twit Network. Well, let's see here. We've got several different questions here. Wanted to talk about. SoCal Ray Jr. says, better network connection so I can... this is something he'd like to see. A better network connection so he can stream from his NAS boxes, save movies and music and so easily. Now, Barb, have you tried streaming from a NAS?
Well, you can't stream directly from a NAS. You kind of have to play some games. But like the Western Digital, MyBook Live Duo, it has an app called WD2Go that you can get to on Google Chrome. When you get to it on Google Chrome, then you can look at all of your photos and your other devices. I also have a Pogo plug that will play the movies. And so if I go to that via a web browser, then I can play the movie on the Pogo plug and send it to the Chromecast. So I've been able to get a lot of the stuff that I have by playing these little games, because otherwise you can't really get your own home media library stuff.
Mm. So Kyle Ray Jr. in the chat room says he figured out a roundabout way, but it wasn't easy. So maybe he'll give me a little more detail in the chat room here. Does anyone know, SIOK Online in the chat room is asking, does the Nexus 7 come with the Chrome browser? Anybody know? I don't.
I'm not using it.
Well, there's going to be a Chrome browser Android, but it's not going to be the same Chrome that they're, it's not the same Chrome that they're talking about that you can cast a tab. There's no casting from, you know, from any tablets or portable devices.
Exactly. You get the Chromecast from the tablets.
So even if your tablet has the Chrome browser on it, you're not going to cast from that. I wonder why they did that. Anybody care to hazard a guess?
There's definitely with a computer. There's like a performance minimum just for it to operate. So I think it's a matter of just not having enough CPU power in tablets and portable devices to do that. At least not in the beta form.
I think the other issue also is, what video can be played on that device. And I think that you're limited compared to the amount of video, the kind of video that you can play just on a regular PC or Mac.
Mm. Dr. T in the chat room is issuing a correction, alerting us to a correction. There's an article on the Chromecast API here. Here's the summary, he says. For now, Google has tight reins on whom, should be who, can use their Cast API. Who can use their Cast API and what apps are created with it. Developers must first get approval by Google to use and access the API and have their Chromecast device whitelisted for development. So they are keeping a little tighter rein on it, apparently, than we thought at first. Undermind says he has his Chromecast plugged into the AVR for the same reason. So that's clearly one way to go. It's the way I'm going to go, I'm sure. Web3780 says he plugged his Chromecast into an HDMI switcher because the TV only had two HDMI ports. So that's kind of an interesting idea. And apparently it worked.
Cool.
So there you go. Let's see. Here's a question that we haven't come up with yet. One of the things that I have heard some people talk about is whether or not you can take the Chromecast with you on a trip, say, and plug it into your hotel TV. Will it work just as well and easily under those conditions, or is there some problem with that approach? Mark, what have you learned about that, if anything?
It's a big problem. Public Wi-Fi won't work because public Wi-Fi tries to stop devices from seeing each other for security reasons, and the entire functionality of the discovery and launch protocol dial requires that the devices openly see each other. So unless you bring your own router and tap into the hotel Wi-Fi that way, or you use your laptop to create an ad hoc connection, you're not going to simply walk into a hotel room with your Chromecast and start using it by plugging it into your phone and pulling out, plugging into a TV and then pulling out your phone. That doesn't work.
I do a lot of traveling, and
it's true, you do.
That is the problem with any of these devices that need to see each other on the same Wi-Fi. I mean, when you think about it, you go into the hotel and you it immediately comes when you try to hook up to their Wi-Fi, even if it's free, you still have to agree to their services and everything else. So there's always that layer in between. And you can't do that on a device, whether it is the Chromecast or a Roku or anything else. There is, however, along with doing something like an ad hoc kind of connection, a little bit simpler is this thing called, I believe it's called SharePoint from D-Link, where it's a device that you can take with you that will create that sort of sub Wi-Fi for them to see each other. But it's not as easy as just going and hooking it into the TV at your hotel room and being able to make it work. It's just not.
It still requires bandwidth as well, just to function well. And hotels usually don't provide that kind of bandwidth. Like
that's true.
Hey, you know something? When I was in Canada recently, I was streaming at 500. I was at 500K. It wasn't even 1 megabit per second, and I was able to stream the newsroom to my computer and hook it up to the TVs at the hotel. So I was able to do it that way, you know, but
at 500, so even though it's 500 kilobits?
At 500K, I didn't even, you know, it wasn't even that bad. It wasn't the quality wasn't even that bad. It was pretty surprising.
I think the premise is if you,
sorry, Mark, go ahead.
Oh, no, but since you already have to have a laptop, since you already have to have a phone or a tablet to use the Chromecast in a hotel, as opposed to a Roku, where at least there was the promise that you just have a little device in your remote control, you basically already have the device that you should use to stream on your hotel TV with
good
you.
Good point. Yeah, that's a very good point. it was something that people were talking about in the beginning of, oh, this will let us do it anywhere, but not
small and cheap. Yeah, seemed nice.
Burke in the chat room says the HDMI extension that comes with the Chromecast also serves to improve its Wi-Fi reception.
Oh, that's
and,
right.
There's a question for you. I mean, I guess it acts as a little antenna. Neither of you have had it. Only works with Wi-Fi. You can't even plug it in hardwired Ethernet. Which I generally recommend for streaming. When people have a streaming box like Apple TV or Roku or whatever, you know, I say best to plug it into a hardwire Ethernet rather than Wi-Fi. You'll get more reliable performance. You can't even do that with a Chromecast. Have either of you found, I guess not, since we already talked about performance issues, could there be a potential problem with Wi-Fi?
You know, you can imagine if you did have it up on a wall and it was sticking into one of those recesses where, you know, how they have a recess sometimes where the ports are, then it would be behind a wall, behind the recess and everything. And it could block some of the signal, I imagine. Mm-hmm. But in my case, it would have been fine either way.
I was really concerned about it and I was surprised it didn't do it. And my Blu-ray player, when I have it on Wi-Fi and roughly in the same spot, it doesn't seem to get quite as good a signal. I mean, I don't think there's real parity between the two, like four bars is four bars on the two devices per se. But I do know that it ended up working better. Like Netflix specifically, I just ran a series of tests and found that the Chromecast didn't, like when the strength of the Wi-Fi signal fluctuated, the Chromecast wasn't really affected by that as badly as my Blu-ray player is. Don't know why.
Okay. Curtis B. in the chat room is saying, one correction, you can AirPlay to an Apple TV in the background and do other things at the same time if the app was written that way. Craig's Twit iOS app is an example. So there's at least one example, but of course you have to write it in the right way. Ace Detect, our good friend and host of the next show coming up, said, I stayed at a Montreal hotel. It had great bandwidth. So Snafu also says Canada has good bandwidth. So, Barb, you were in Canada, and even with 500K, it worked okay.
There you go. I'm not saying that they didn't have better hotels or anything else. I was, like, in cabins and things. So.
Yeah, right. Understood. Oh, Untoward says better buffers and 4 gigs of RAM is a good reason for that. Well, okay then. Usability, content, AV quality. Generally speaking, you guys giving a thumbs up to Chromecast?
Absolutely.
Oh, totally. Otherwise, I'd sell it on eBay and make a profit.
True enough. Okay. Well, I've still got to order mine, and I know it'll take 4 to 6 weeks, so they say, but I definitely want to check it out for myself. Anybody else in the chat room have any last minute questions? Yeah, Curtis B says at $35, it has to be a thumbs up. Well, yes, it does, but it really also has to work well. And so far, we've seen that from everything Barb and Mark have told us, it works great. So I'm thankful very much for the information and the deep knowledge that you guys both have.
Oh, you're welcome.
Barb Gonzalez, the Simple Tech Guru at simpletechguru.com.
Facebook at simpletechguru.com.
And like her on Facebook. What's your Twitter handle?
It's Simple Tech Guru. It's really easy.
Very easy. Okay, good. Well, I encourage everyone to follow along with Barb Gonzalez and Mark Henninger, who is certainly at avsforum.com. You also have your own website for your own digital imaging business. What is that?
That's imagicdigital.com.
imagicdigital.com.
And I am iMagic on AVS.
So look for his, he writes a lot of stuff on AVS and really great stuff too. And I'm really happy to have him contributing. He also posts a lot on AVS Twitter feed, which is AVS Forum, and on Facebook too. And that's also AVS Forum, right?
Right, correct.
Facebook.com/AVS Forum. So lots of places to find Mark and Barb both. And I thank you both for being here. It's been really great.
Thanks for having me again.
You bet.
Thanks for having me, Scott.
You bet, Mark. Of course, you can also find me at avsforum.com, and you can email me at scott@twit.tv. You can also follow me on Twitter at htgeekscott, and also be sure to check in on the AVS Forum Twitter feed as well. And you can find previous episodes of Home Theater Geeks right here on twit.tv/htg. And on YouTube at youtube.com/twithometheatergeeks. But of course, you really want to tune in live every Monday, 2 p.m. Pacific time, 5 p.m. Eastern time, to be able to participate and ask questions in the chat room where I monitor every show and try to pass along as many as I can. Next week, I'm on vacation. But don't worry. Home Theater Geeks will not abandon you. We have already pre-recorded a show that will play next Monday at our regularly scheduled time. And my guest geek on that show is the renowned technologist, Robert Herron, who joins me to answer chat room questions for the entire hour. It was a great conversation and a lot of great information, so I really hope you will tune in for that. And then when I get back, we will have more Home Theater Geek goodness live and in person. So please tune in next week, and I will look forward to seeing you again in 2 weeks. Until then, geek out.